Now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
Hello and welcome to episode 86 of the Webcomic Beacon. This is Fess of webcomicbeacon.com. Missed a little bit here. We are hosted on the Rampage Network, a web hosting community and a webcomic community at rampagenetwork.com. Boy, I'm just like failing all over the place today. With me, we got just one co-host today. Tanya's out with her Squidworks webcomickers. But we have Mark of AutumnLake.com with us.
Hi there.
And this week, we have, if I'm going to say the name correctly, Robin Birkinshaw?
Yeah, hello.
Robin Birkinshaw of the webcomic Alice and Kev at alicekev.wordpress.com. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hello. I don't often get it called a webcomic, actually.
Well, I was on Twitter and I asked Scott McCloud, who does who's fairly reputable in the comics world, and I asked him. I sent a link to your comic and I asked him, "Does this technically count as a comic?" And he said, "Yeah." He didn't go into it, but
yeah, I saw that. I mean, it undoubtedly is sort of a comic that's combining words and images like that, but it's kind of the format, so it isn't one that's usually associated with that label, kind of thing.
Right, but it's still, you know, images in sequential order telling a story, even with a caption. And well, for people that don't know, haven't been to the site yet, Alice and Kev is a webcomic that uses the game engine of Sims 3. Taking screen caps and such and using those pictures in a comic. I'm not entirely sure if it's supposed to be called Machinima Comic or not, but when people do a video using a video game, it's called Machinima. And well, Robin, can you tell us basically a synopsis of what Alice and Kev is?
With difficulty, I think. It's kind of...
Well, the whole project behind it.
Well, okay, so Sims 3 is like a life simulation game.
Right.
It's usually about you guide a little family of people to become president of the world or rock stars or whatever other kind of massively successful goal you choose for yourself.
Right.
I tried to experiment with the simulation. I tried playing it with a homeless family. And see how, if that could work, what would happen. And then I took screenshots and described what was going on for my friends. And it turned out sort of nowhere like I was expecting it to go. It's like became like a story that a lot of people seem to find quite affecting in some places.
And in this game, I know you can set the characters that you control to having a lot of free will, partial free will, or absolutely no free will. And so, tell us your approach with actually controlling the characters.
I am. I mean, some players are reporting that I'm not controlling them at all, which isn't right. I play it like a normal family, just not with the obsessive control I might with another family where I'm efficiently trying to use all their time for maximum benefit or whatever. A few times they did something surprising when I wasn't giving them a direct command, so I've started to sort of take a little more of a backseat. I'll guide them somewhere, then see what they do, because they've all got individual personalities now, unlike the previous thing. So it's ended up a kind of me and the game are cooperatively coming up with this story. Like neither one of us would have created what we've ended up with.
Okay. In Sims 2, you're saying you couldn't pick personality traits?
They had sort of like, I think it's four very broad ones, but they had very little effect on sort of the sort of day-to-day things they did.
Okay.
Kind of it affected the sort of wants and wishes that they came up with, but not much else.
Okay. And with the whole project, you set up the website, and you have it's basically kind of when you originally came up with the idea to do this, did you have the idea to be like sort of like a homelessness awareness sort of project?
No, not at all. So it's kind of, when I realized that this was becoming quite popular, I realized, you know, I had to do something to try and use this for good, considering the subject I'd chosen. Would have been irresponsible of me to just throw it up there on its own, which is why I sort of added in the charity links.
Right.
I mean, a lot of places have kind of put me in the position of being a champion for homelessness, and I'm trying to do my best to go along with that and do what I can. But it wasn't something I set out to do originally.
Okay. Have you read any other type of comics where they use like The Sims to make a comic at all? Or
I've seen a few. Not there's been quite a lot posted on my blog that I've read the beginnings of, and there've always been people doing these things sort of with every iteration of The Sims.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually it's kind of more like a proper machinima style, where they have a story they want to tell, and then they use the game to create the images to go along with their story.
Right.
Whereas mine's doing something slightly different. There's none that I've sort of read in depth being made recently with The Sims 3.
Okay. And right now, you're taking a little bit of a break, basically. It's because the game's getting so advanced in like the progression, that you need more time to find something new that they're doing, because you have an ending kind of planned for this, right?
No, not at all.
Oh, you don't? Okay. Okay.
It's kind of the problem.
How do you find the other Sims people react? Do they know the story behind this already, or do the characters sort of randomly interact with others they meet?
Oh, do you mean the characters in the game?
Yes. Yeah.
The game has no concept of homelessness or poverty or being anything other than massively successful. It's kind of, the game is constantly trying to throw money and success at you. It's almost impossible to die a premature death or anything like that. Sort of to the other characters of the game, Alice and Kev aren't homeless. They don't recognize that they're in any kind of trouble. Which kind of makes things weird and interesting in some ways, because it's kind of, none of the other characters have any sympathy for them, but then there's none of the real world support methods that will be available to someone who's homeless.
So right.
They get none of the support and none of the downsides. I'm explaining it very well.
Right. No. I think I know what you're saying, because the game, it can only do as much as it's been programmed to do, and such an idea isn't really incorporated.
It's only programmed for middle class life,
right? Perpetual middle class, basically. But what is interesting is just even when you just let characters go, and I mean, because you can like walk into other people's houses and whatever, and in real life, obviously, that's not going to work without maybe somebody calling the cops or attacking you. But you may be asked to leave if you're acting too inappropriate. But you can still get away with a few things. Sims are weird, you know. They're their own creature.
Well, it's kind of something, because it assumes, you know, everyone is quite friendly or whatever, you know, you come up to a neighbor you've never met before, ask to come in, they'll invite you in for a chat or whatever.
Right.
And then, so it's kind of, the world is, it'll be assumption that people aren't as paranoid as perhaps they might be in the real world.
Right. Well, let's see here. Tell us a little bit about the other stuff that you do, like your main website and your other points of interest.
Well, I'm a student doing a game development course, and my main website just has a few of my experimental games and prototypes and things, and a couple of thoughts on game design on it. The other games related stuff.
Were you actually kind of got like a beta going of the game, or is it like concept art that you're doing? Or
what I have on now, I have a game called Reset, which is like a very small experimental game where it's kind of like trying to create a game that supports a piece of music, like an interactive music video. I've got an old amateur thing I did before I got into this seriously. It's kind of way too difficult for anyone to get into. It's up there.
Okay.
And I've got a sort of game prototype, just like an early level I did over the new year up there. And there's sort of, I've got a criticism I made of Far Cry 2 and another game diary story involving Space Rangers 2.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't got anything up there to go with any ongoing projects I've got for the moment.
Okay. Let's see here. As far as webcomics in general go, are there any that you particularly that you read regularly? Things of interest.
I'm quite partial to Order of the Stick.
Order the Stick. Okay.
I don't know if you're aware of it. It's based on Dungeons and Dragons type thing, even though I've never played the game.
Right.
And you know, some of the usual gaming ones like Penny Arcade, XKCD.
Okay, so you are a gamer at heart and read the gamer comics. let's see here. Now, I thought I would have had more. I thought I'd have more the content here, but I was doing a search on Google for Sims comics, and I just couldn't find any that aren't currently updated.
They're probably not called comics, because I say it's not a label that's usually applied to this kind of thing. I think the Sims website has a function for creating stories out of Sims screenshots in it.
Right.
This did in Sims 2. There's a whole load of them on WordPress blogs now, sort of imitation of visual style with Alice in Care.
You're saying people are mostly doing that, or they take a screenshot and put a caption?
There's a lot of them that's kind of telling a story interspersed with Sims screenshots.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I mean, the only one I used to read while it updated was Orange Hat Girl, which seemed kind of interesting. It was taking a different approach. It was being surrealistic, and she just stopped updating for the longest time, so I obviously can't read that anymore. But recently I found one that's called What's This? Which seemed to be doing good for a while, and then that one just seemed to stop updating in January. But, man, it's... You know, it looks like it started in 2005, actually, according to the website. So it probably started with the original Sims.
Yeah. Have you had any feedback from the Sims people themselves?
As I've sort of said in some other interviews, when I first started doing this, it was just forum posts on a forum that I visit to my friends. It was only sort of after they convinced me that this was something good and I should move it to a blog so they can link their friends to it. But sort of the very first comment that was made on anything was by Rod Humble, lead of the Sims division at EA. It said something like, "You are a genius." But, nice. Yeah, they're all fans of it. I've had a few emails from them, people at EA.
Because it is a different. It's a totally different use for it than it's probably envisioned. So it's kind of a hack of the game in a way.
Yeah, I can imagine it's a bit of a thrill seeing these various little systems you programmed come together to create something you weren't expecting, like this.
Right. So you've I guess we're going to go off on a gaming tangent here. You played Sims 2 before this, correct?
Yeah.
And I didn't play Sims 2 at all. I think I played Sims 1. But between Sims 2 and Sims 3, I've been hearing it feels a little bit limited than what they've expanded in some places, but they've also limited on some of the stuff. Do you feel that's true?
Some of the things introduced by the expansions aren't present. So someone who's gone from all expansions to just Sims 3 will miss a few things. But sort of the base core of it is sort of massively improved, I think. It's a much better core game.
Okay. I actually completely forgot about all the expansions. I suppose it is EA. They like to make their money.
I don't think it. It's a lot of people sort of give them a flack for the expansion thing, but a lot of expansions are good games in themselves. I think. I think it's sort of it's the dream of everyone's that when they found their favorite game, that someone will keep on improving and making it wider and deeper and better.
I suppose, but then again, I've been on Steam with Team Fortress 2, and they keep improving and updating the game for free, so to speak. They also allow community maps and such. But they also do that with this, because you can actually make characters and you can make lots like houses and stuff and put them online, and people can put them actually into their own game too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's always had that kind of customization thing, but it sounds like it's a little hard to do the sort of in-depth modding
right
with this version. But I think sort of there's plans to sort of make that easier for people to do, from what I've heard.
Okay, and you actually do have Else and Kev available for download from your website as well.
Yes, there's been several thousand downloads of those.
Oh wow!
I get emails. Occasionally people telling me of these alternate lives of Alice and Kev. So there's just thousands of alternate realities where Alice and Kev are now living in mansions or have enormous families or whatever.
Oh man, that's great. Too bad you can't really save a sim as they progress and learn. I think you mentioned it, because basically you get when you save and share a sim, you get what you basically start with, so. But it would be kind of interesting to...
You can save them at data points and share those as well.
Oh, you can? Oh, I have to look into that. Let's see here. If and when you figure out how to end Allison and Kev, do you think you might do a different type of Sims comic in the future?
I don't know, because I think this is going to be pretty difficult to follow. Because anything else isn't going to be as interesting from the kind of social situation perspective. So I don't know, I might do, but they would be a lot more lighthearted, I think.
Okay. Well, hopefully you'll think of something. Otherwise, it'll be the Alice and Kev will always be there for people to check out at aliceandkev.wordpress.com. I think that's right. I gotta go. Yep, that's right. All right. Well, it's about time for us to take our first break. I think we pretty much destroyed this topic as it is. We've covered most of everything as we can, so that's pretty good. Robin, thank you very much for coming on the show with us.
Okay, thank you.
And for everyone, we'll post all the show links in the notes on the website when we update the show at webcomicbeacon.com later. Again, you can check out Alice and Kev at aliceandkev.wordpress.com. And also, don't forget to check out Robin's own website at Roburky, roburky.co.uk. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll figure out what we're doing.
Is an affiliate of The Geek Media. The Geek Media has a number of geek-related podcasts, blogs, and videos for you to enjoy. Check out thegeekmedia.com. Have news, milestones, questions, or comments? Send your audio clips or email to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
So, webcomics.
Have you recovered from your massive loss of data, massive crash of data, or whatever? Have you recovered everything or most everything?
No, I do not have the computer itself. I do not have either of my computers. They have been confiscated because I know somebody else, and they have access to my computer. So therefore, mine are confiscated. So that's why
I heard a story like that in the news the other day, where this guy was not that you are doing this,
right?
At all, but this is a story that made me think of it. this guy, he had the scariest looking mugshot as well. He was arrested for downloading a whole bunch of child porn on his computer. Mm-hmm. They come in and arrest him, and what is his excuse? That, well, I leave the computer on, and I leave the house, and my cat is there sitting at the computer. And he swears his cat has downloaded all this stuff, that he's never done this, ever. It didn't really, work. He got arrested.
Looking for the wrong kitty porn.
I hadn't even thought of that.
Oh, somebody also said that joke in the chat room too.
Kitty.
Yeah, the cat is a pervert.
Ah,
I'm sorry. I'm stealing that joke from the chat too.
A pervert. But I thought that was a funny story. And being a furry, I thought you'd enjoy that one.
I mean, woof.
My bunny caught my kitty caught a bunny rabbit the other day. I went outside, and it was all chewed to bits. It was half a bunny.
Oh, gross. That's terrible. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't like all gross and stuff. It was just half gone. Cat's there. Hi.
Web comics. well, we kind of don't have a whole lot more to talk about.
Milestones or nothing, huh?
Well, no, not about the original topic. But I do have, ooh, it's so great. I don't know if I mentioned it on the past show, but I have Sims 3 on my computer. I made a character like Becky, and there's a radio tower outside of the town. I can't angle the camera just right to get the whole thing. But I managed to place her in front of it a little bit, so that radio tower in the Sims game is behind her, and that's going to be this week's cover.
Oh, and, sweet.
Yeah.
That looked awesome.
Yeah. The shirt is, I guess, maybe the wrong color, but it'll work. It'll work.
Well, why don't you just modify it in Photoshop? Why not?
I'd have to go in. I don't have the time. See, I've been very, very depressed since my computer had been confiscated.
Are you getting it back ever? I hope.
Chances are not good. And I would complain, except I know this person and I know them well enough for me not to go dicking around and bothering the police about it and causing trouble. If it was some jack-off that I didn't care about, some jack-off roommate I didn't care about, I'd be going and bothering the police to get my computer back. But I'm just trying to be as out of the way as possible and making sure I don't screw anything up. You know.
Probably a good idea.
But... guy bought me a new computer.
That's nice.
Well, he'll get it back if I get my computer back, but, so I basically had a disc from last year, 1 year ago, July 2008.
Oh my.
That had some webcomic stuff on it, as much as possible. The rest I had to get, I still have to download a backup for a disc from everything that's online at Zephyr. And of course all the webcomic Beacon episodes are online, and I gotta download a backup for those as well too. Everything master I don't have anymore. I no longer have any master files except for some PSDs here and there. A lot of stuff I did for PSI is gone. I had done a complete CMYK palette for all of PSI, and that's gone. And that just kind of just.
Oh, it's, wow.
I have the old one, but now I really just don't feel like doing my comic anymore. I really don't. And it hasn't updated since, and it's just, I'm so depressed.
Well, this is a good lesson for everybody in backuppery.
Mm-hmm.
That, especially if you have a really hefty archive, I've got like over 800 comics, or updates at least.
Yeah, and they're good, so not like they're, mine.
Some of them are all right, but I had that outage. I was in a big panic. Oh my God, what if I can never get this thing working again?
Mm-hmm.
And so now I back up at least fairly regularly, more than I did anyway.
Right.
I dump them down into... I compress them in what you call it there.
I don't know.
Icon right on my damn computer I can't find because I got too many icons on my computer. But, you know, the...
RAR zip
thingy. Well, anyway.
Yeah.
yeah, so I... WinZip, thank you. I compress those down, and I have the raw art files, which are ginormous.
Yeah.
And I don't bother... saving the GIFs that I put on the website because they're just the bigger version shrunk down.
Right.
All they are, so I don't bother saving that. I have a file for them on my hard drive, of course, but I don't archive them.
Well, I guess I still save basically because it's easier for me to save the file, the JPEG, because I don't have to delete it. But I had to save them before because I had it in HTML, and I had to make a new page every time in HTML, so basically I had to keep it anyway so I could edit the page. But
I have a standalone drive that I dump those things down to from time to time, and then every so often I burn them on a CD. I'm just paranoid I'm going to lose them all.
Yeah. I would be too after this. I'm paranoid. I got the only thing I have right now is like a 4 gig USB drive that I'm backing up everything new that I make on my computer. I also backed up a bunch of programs because basically I lost 90% of everything that I had on my computer. The programs are all recoverable. I can download a lot of the programs from online. Well, most of the programs are recoverable. So that was no deal. So I backed up all the programs and install files that I re-downloaded just to make it easier next time. Luckily my car stereo system can play MP3 discs.
Mm-hmm.
So I made several MP3 discs already. So I was able to retrieve some of my MP3s that way, and I was like, oh, thank God. or whoever. And so I got some of my MP3s back. My brother had some MP3s that I had also we had shared MP3s, and so he's had some, so I was able to put those back on my computer. So I'm happy about that, but I lost a ton of movies. I'm still missing maybe 70% of the MP3s I had, and they were mostly legit. 90 I would have to say like 90% of the MP3s I had were legit. Because I had spent a long time ripping a whole bunch of CDs that I have, and then I went to this website to download, and I bought music from gomusic.ru. It's a Russian MP3 website. I believe it's legit anyway. But then, okay. The songs are cheap. They're like 9 or 5 cents each. And I emailed them. I asked them, and they said they had the proper license. And so, well, they said that, so I'm not going to be to blame. But
well, I mean, I guess if it was something you really, really, really had to have for business purposes, like, you know, the theme music, and you could argue and stuff like that, surely they would let you have a copy of it off the hard drive, surely, wouldn't they?
They asked me if I had to go back to the police and ask, can I get a couple of files back?
Why not? It's your property.
True, but it's most likely they wouldn't bother doing that. And it's hard. I'd have to be there to tell them specifically, hey, I want this and this and this. And because they're not going to let me go on a computer that's confiscated.
Oh, yeah. And if you can't remember the name of the file, I guess that would be it. So there you go, folks. There's a lesson in backuppery. A sad, tragic tale that could happen to you if you don't engage in backuppery practices of a proper nature.
All my high quality art that I did for all those wallpapers, all I have is what's online right now. That's it. I can't print them or anything or do anything. That sucks.
You feel my art computer doesn't connect to the internet anymore. I don't use it online for anything ever. It's just for the art and maybe copying a DVD and stuff like that. Nothing illegal though.
Yeah. Somebody asked, why don't I reconstruct a palette from, the comics that are online. It doesn't work that way because it's saved down in JPEG, so it's not going to be exact.
Yeah, it's a low res.
I'm thinking I'm going to go back to just using the old palette for now, and I'm kind of feeling like I'm just going to end the comic or just end it enough or something like that, and then like just spend some time to redo it. I want to relaunch the comic, so to speak, at least redo all of up until now, basically. Like, redo it, cut out all the fourth wall, cut out all the crossovers and stuff, and basically make the gist of the story up until now.
That's a lot of work.
No. I have plans to make it really short. I got plans to simplify everything, and I would also tell more about the world, and I would define the characters better. My comic's been an experiment from the beginning. And ever since the beginning, one of the main focuses was to actually do a lot of cameos. And I don't really want to lose that either. But then again, I can't print that either. So
Yeah, I see what you mean.
So I like want to make, and this relaunch, or so to speak, or retelling, is going to be something that I'm going to eventually want to print anyway. So then I'll be able to have that. And then as I go along from there, I'll be able to work from the end of that and hopefully write things in a way, get permissions in a way, and make it all nice in a way that it could potentially be printed again, or I could easily edit out a character in the PSD or something like that. You know, it's basically about improvement, and but right now I'm just kind of but I do have some really, really good news of stuff that I'm actually excited for. But first, I want to tell you that as far as Machinima using The Sims, check out roosterteeth.com. And under videos, look for The Strangerhood. There's only one season that the Rooster Teeth guys did using The Sims 2 engine. It's a reality show in The Sims. Instead of the neighborhood, it's The Strangerhood. You know, a bunch of guys living together, a bunch of people, different people living together, and it's all like, oh, what's going on? I guess it's kind of got a little bit of the, what is that? That drawn together quality, as far as the wackiness of the setup, but not of like the crude humor or anything, just the setup, basically. You got the producer, who is just a voice, and they have to do what the producer says type of thing. But otherwise, they're like, oh, what's going on? Yeah, whatever. Just check it out yourself. Roosterteeth.com, and look under videos to The Strangerhood. Now, this is going to be just a short show, isn't it? This is going to be a really short show. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a break right now. No, now. Nope. Now.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on RampageNetwork.com. Be sure to check out our weekly live broadcast on TalkShoe.com. Listen in, chat, or call in at WebcomicBeacon.com/live.
And we're back.
Hey, that didn't take long.
It could have taken longer.
It could have. In the magic mystery world of podcastery and editory and stuff like that there.
Right. Well, speaking of the Webcomic Beacon, remember that project we talked about a long time ago called Webcomic Bacon?
The Bacon.
Webcomic Bacon. A communal comic starring open source characters, basically. A lot of that hasn't been done for since January. But recently, but I think we're mostly waiting on me to finish up with a couple of characters. If you go to webcomicbacon.com and you click on cast, you'll actually see a cast page. Not entirely complete yet, as I do need to add some color to the character's eyes supplemented, but everyone else's characters that they have drawn, the people that have worked on it, George of DungeonLegacy.com, Zach of Unamused Comics, Jason, of course, of Autumn Lake, and Onyx Sparrow of...
You mean Mark of Autumn Lake and Jason of somebody else?
Yeah, no... Mark of Autumn Lake and Mike of onyxsparrow.com, which also does Prepare to Die webcomic. They all have characters on here, and apparently I made like both of the animal characters, the pig and a helper ferret. So we're still in the process of updating the page. I also made the manager of the apartment, and here's the line. Let me go to the About section, because we also have an About section, too.
We got it all here at the Bacon.
Check it out. Webcomic Bacon takes place in Fatback, Mindianigan, USA. And places of interest include Hemington Apartments, nearby Hogville Culinary School, Porculus University, Gammon High School, and, of course, Swine Street and Hawk Avenue downtown. Yes, these are all terrible puns.
Yay.
And basically, my plan is to do, I'm hoping by September I'll do this, but we'll see. I want to get the first strip up, which will be the introductory strip. And then from there, we'll try to set something up where people can sign up for an account, and you can... I gotta see how you can where people can make a post, but they gotta wait permission for me to post it. So I gotta look into that. If anybody knows about permission posts and such like that, maybe I just need to disallow publish. I don't know. I'll find out by somebody, and then obviously we're gonna not put the ones that are crude up there that are, you know, because it's like. They're open source characters. Becky is technically a part of the cast, but she's not one of the open source characters. She's part of the additional cast. And additional cast characters would be characters that are a little bit more resident than maybe cameos of, say, like your own comics or whatever. And we're not trying to be all like tyranty and everything like that. So you can definitely use these characters in your own comics. But as far as the website itself is concerned, we have some various rules, and these are kind of like in the making. First rule is no killing off a character without bringing them back before the end of a strip or a story, because they got to be there. And so you can do like gag strips, or you can do like a set of them, like a short story, and have them come back in there. No permanent, unrepairable destruction to the town, setting, etc. For the most part, of course. So sometimes you can have, you know, some fun or coordinate with another person, whatever. Basically, like, don't drop a nuke and then the next person has a comic, everything's fine. You know, some consistency would be great, is what I'm saying. But that's kind of like an iffy kind of rule. No use of outside characters without expressed permission. That's just for obvious reasons. If you use your own characters, it should be obvious that you're giving permission to use them to yourself. Try to keep the characters true to their character. But of course, you can expand upon them as well. Try to stick to gag strips or short stories. We want to avoid monopolies on updates, is basically it. We're trying to keep things fairly like PG-13, but light PG-13. Don't go freaking overboard with pushing, you know, because there's PG-13, and then there's like, okay, this is almost should be R PG-13. There's a scale, and that, those are the basic ideas right now. You can go to our forum and post questions and such like that about that as well. Let's go to the chat room, see if there's any questions. Yeah, I'd like to avoid nudity and the main two swear words, if at all possible. But I don't know. We'll see. Maybe that should be fine. At least the nudity, no nudity. Those suggested and such like that could be allowed. You know, we're going for the widest audience to allow most people to be able to get on here, because I know we have some underage listeners as well. So
I still got to make the chef.
Oh yeah,
I like the idea of the chef.
Well, you have the
French chef who can only cook Italian. That's like his woe in life. See? He can't make French cuisine. He can only make Italian.
We're looking at the chat room. That's right. We have a chat room live. As we do the show, we have a live chat room, webcomicbeacon.com/live, every Sunday that we have a show, which is most Sundays. So check it out, be a part of it, hear everything as it happens, and also after we're done...
You don't have to be 18 or older, but it helps.
After we do upload the show, we upload the show at MP3, which most people are listening to right now, you can go to our TalkShoe page at webcomicbeacon.com/live, and you can scroll down our past episodes so you can see the pre and after show. They may not be as interesting, but they're there just in case you'd want to give a listen to. Just a little bit extra content for those that miss the live shows and miss other things that we may be discussing. And let's see here. I also have some really awesome news for those who follow Jenny Everywhere. I really have to go into this. And everyone knows that I am the curator of the Shifter Archive, the most comprehensive and I think actually the only only website that documents Jenny Everywhere. Jenny Everywhere is an open source comic character, which was created back in 2001. First presented to the public on August 13th, 2001, on the Barbalith.com forums by Stephen Wintle or Winthel. I'm really sorry. I really forgot how to pronounce your name. Well, back on episode 20, we also had him on, as well as other people like Nelson Evergreen and Benj Christensen. And I think Tony Wolf, but I'm not sure, who were on the show talking about Jenny Everywhere. And, August 13th, 2009 marks the 8th birthday of Jenny Everywhere when she was first birthed to the community. Of course, that wasn't her final decision as far as what she was going to be. She was raised by the Barbalith.com forum members. And she molded, you know, into the person she is today, essentially, and of course has been expanded upon greatly since then. You can check out lots of extra information and all this is everything is possible that I have on Jenny that I know of is at theshifterarchive.com. If I don't have it on my site, I have a link out to it. Let's see here. We have a couple of news, a few bits of news. Right now, there was a comic started a while ago called The Legend of Jenny Everywhere, which is supposed to be a three-part story. And part two just went up, so go ahead and check that out. Links are on. Links will be in our show notes. Also, When Casting Calls, one of the biggest Jenny Everywhere stories that has been done in the last couple of years. You know, real professionally done. Jason Frank, the writer, and of course the he also paid the artists to do their work too, I think, and all that. There's a colorist, a letterist, all that groovy stuff. He does when casting calls at casting.jennyeverywhere.net. I just realized I didn't update that page. Dang it. Go to theshifterarchive.com. Right there, you'll see an ad. It is now up for sale at indieplanet.com. That's right. You can get the 24-page full-color book for just $4.50 plus shipping, which makes it between $6 and $7 depending on, because the shipping is calculated. First class USPS. And go and check that out. And there is also an art in there by Nelson Evergreen, and the cover art as well. I could have saved some money by putting the Indie Planet ad on the back, but I decided to use the covered and back art to be the same. Slightly rearranged from the comic as it was originally presented on the Shifter Archive website, and I also removed the high-res version that was on the website because we now have the book. I don't think that's dickish.
No.
That seems you can still read it on the website, but this is cooler. You actually get a physical medium. This will be the third publication of Jenny Everywhere stories. The first was the Nelson Evergreen collection, which was Names Not Down and a damn fine hostile takeover or something like that. Hostile Takeover parts 1 and 2. Which was a limited print. The next one after that was the Tijuana Bible version for Jenny Everywhere. I'm technically going to count that because that's how Tijuana Bibles were made. Kind of. So bad. It is the fourth. When Casting Calls is the fourth ever printed publication. The third would be the Wagon Webcomic Battle Trading Cards, which were part of the Shifter Archive contest last year. So that was really cool. So we got that going on. Also, for Jenny Everywhere Day is what we're calling it on August 13th. We're going to be starting a birthday comic jam, or at least an art jam. We're going to have a birthday cake there, and we're going to have people sign up to draw Jennies, basically interacting with the birthday cake, or coordinate with other people to interact with other Jennies. It's an art jam, and we'll have the a Photoshop file. To download from the site, basically go to the forums on theshifterarchive.com/forum and sign up in the thread. And the people who sign up in the thread in order, get first dibs on the position of where to put their Jenny. Of course, there'll be like general rules to try not to cover up too much of other Jennies, of course. But all the Jennies will have isolated art of them so people can see the entire art that people did. And hopefully this will be a really good idea, not a big... Oh, crap. but I'm really excited about that. So check that all out. We also have milestones. Milestones. Yes, we have milestones.
Ah.
This is segment 3 of the show, isn't it? Wow, this show is
it
going.
Is.
This show is going really fast. Shortest show ever. Actually, that's not true. The shortest show ever was the first one. I don't know. I don't care anymore. We have... We have Galaxian of GalaxianComics.com turns 3 years old after its last relaunch, of course, because we've had her on the show before, and she said she's basically redone it like 5 times or something like that.
It's awesome.
It is
it's
very...
On, it's on holiday right now, but it's awesome.
Good. A very good comic. I tried to do some coloring for it as well, and that's another thing I lost was the PSD of the coloring for that one page I did.
Damn.
Oh well, but I think I well.
They have a really interesting little summer story going on while they're on vacation for the summer. So check it out.
Awesome. That's at GalaxianComics.com. We also have another milestone this week. Imagine that. Edenic City hits 300 strips at edeniccity.com/WordPress. Theater Hopper is 7 years and 1,000 strips at theaterhopper.com. It's theater with a E-R, not an R-E. I'm sorry for those who spell it wrong. Theater, ER, movies, video, film, theatre would probably be performance theater, correct?
I think so, probably.
Sex, Drugs, and June Cleaver has hit 200 strips, and it's at sexdrugsandjunecleaver.com. I have to check out what that is. Oh, weird. Number 200. Check that out later. Looks weird. Okay, now let's see. What else do we got? What else do we got? What else do we got? Oh, what? Nope. Don't. That. Nope. We already did that one last week. Genuine draft. Genuine draft of DreamerSync.com. A Lego photo comic has hit 300 strips, and that is the last milestone. That's right. If you have a milestone that's 100, 200, etc., or on an anniversary, let us know at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Really, that email, and we'll see it. We'll put it on the show. Don't you can tweet if you want, but you're the tweet's not going to get through. Trust me. It helps if Google Mail is there to help me organize everything because I can't do things.
I know how you feel.
We got there's also exciting news for people who read Pure and Hidden Truth at pureandhiddentruth.com. And also, this is exciting news for people who like Jenny Everywhere. That's right. Jenny Everywhere is starring in a live action film for Pure and Hidden Truth, or at least I think it's called Pure in, I forget what the specific project is called, but he will be releasing the video on Jenny Everywhere Day. Or at least we will be showing the video in our show notes. People in our chat room, I will copy the link and send it to you. You guys can get a firsthand look at the Jenny Everywhere at the trailer that features Jenny Everywhere. It basically gives a nice little peek into what could be coming. So I'm very interested in this. Very, very, very excited about this. This is the first live action motion. Of Jenny Everywhere that has been at least publicly released. There might be other things that we have not heard of. I know that there was somebody else that was planning to, but I have not heard of anything other than planning to. But very excited, very excited. Don't forget to check out theshifterarchive.com later in the week for more official news as it comes. Next on the Jenny Everywhere podcast. Well, Mark, do you have any news?
I don't have any news. I'm trying to think of some, and I don't have any. No, I can't say that I do. You want to be sure to check out the Twickles, the Webcomic List Award at the Webcomic List forums. Go check that out. The voting should get underway fairly soon. Now the topics have been decided, and that's all being sorted out. So it's getting there. It's getting close. So check it out for more information.
That's at thewebcomiclist.com. Click on forum, and is it in the webcomic gubbins?
No, it's got its own topic.
Oh, it's own. Yeah. Okay.
The TWCL awards, or the Twickles, I guess, is the it's what they're going to be called now. I guess.
Well, already
Twickles.
Well, maybe we should cover that. I haven't been very active in the forum, but it's something to cover anyway. No other award shows are currently going on that I know of. Though I don't really like general awards shows, but this is these are the Twickles. These are These are not a sweeping. These are not a sweeping. Say, hey, this is it. This is what the webcomic list forum might think, and that's cool by me. And in any case, people who have visited the Webcomic Beacon site should be happy to see, or unhappy to see, that we are starting to do Beacon News Flash. It's basically we're stealing an idea from the Gigcast once again. Why? Well, because they're not updating the show, so we're going to steal from them. Basically, it's a quick links and news blog post. We're going to try to release them every Thursday, and I will largely point my finger at George of DungeonLegacy.com, who also does our show notes, for putting this together. He and I both trying to put together the format for the show and trying to think of it, but it will be maintained by George as soon as we get a real solid thing going on. So far, it looks pretty good. I added some information to start with. So go ahead and check that out. You can go to webcomicbeacon.com, and in the left-hand panel, nice new text images are bright and cheerful for you to click. And one of them is Beacon News Flash. So click on that, and you'll be able to see the previous Beacon News Flashes by this podcast would probably be only one, and soon two, hopefully. So check that out. That's all we got. We may have an advertiser coming in soon, as somebody has expressed interest in advertising. That's right, because we have dropped our pricing for advertising on the show. So you can check that out at webcomicbeacon.com, right underneath the newly added rotating art banner. Just click refresh a few times to see a couple of different arts that have been used for covers before. Right underneath that, on the right, there's a link for advertise, and there you get all of the advertising information for the show. Speaking of advertising, on the webcomicbeacon.com, our Project Wonderful advertisers this week, having the top spot, it's Jaden and Crusader at jadenandcrusader.com, who have a custom beacon ad. Must take breath. Must drink water. Hang on.
And it's awesome, folks. You too can advertise in a webcomic beacon and be that cool.
Yes, Jaden and Crusader, I just gotta wait for the GIF to come right back around. Fellows, I have discovered the secret to immortal life! Shh! The webcomic beacon is on! But, beacon? So, yeah, there you go. And again, we have Yosh! Yosh of YoshSaga.com, once again, has the tower ad. Holy crap! Holy crap! The bidding is up to $1,527.80. You guys are crazy.
Right. Don't tell them.
Wow, people are really on Sundays. This is when the really big bids happen. Wow. So you got to be competitive. It really only lasts for like maybe an hour or two. So obviously, he's not going to pay that much. If he wants to, he can. But wow, that's just fun and good times. Thanks very much, you guys, for bidding on the ads and helping out the Webcomic Beacon. It helps us advertise the Webcomic Beacon more, and also pay for our domain name and such. And if we ever get any big donations, we will be splitting some of them with the Rampage Network, which is very gracious for hosting us for free. So that's my general rule. If we ever really get big donations for the Webcomic Beacon, or I'd split them with the host. Same goes for the Shifter Archive. I've gotten big donation with them before, and I did split it with the host as well, because I am hosted for free, which a big privilege for me, so I never really had the hardships of being hosted by myself. But for the last, the banner ad, which is at the bottom of the homepage, but is on the bottom of every individual post. So if you link to a specific episode, there it's going to be right there, right at the bottom of that post. And it's Super Normal Step, which is a comic that I've seen recently, and actually it's pretty cool, pretty interesting. I like the color, I like the characterization, I like the style of it. I'll probably look at this more later as an impression. We might have gotten it as an impression. I'll have to take a look, but that's at supernormalstep.com. Check it out. Check out all of the people who are great enough to bid on ads for this site and advertise. That is all for the Beacon, because I am so pumped up right now. I think I'm going to go play some World of Warcraft. But this has been Fess of Fessworks.com.
And this is Mark of AutumnLake.com.
Oh, one last bit. If you do go to Fessworks.com right now, first image right there is a really nice sketch of Becky. Becky the Beacon Girl. I'm calling her Becky Beacon, because I'm not that creative. Anyway, we'll see you next week.
That's all for the Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.